Yep, Eric Johnson, 37 years of age, 1,023 games as of tonight, and he gets what looks like a clinching goal, 4-2 the score at the moment. Lukáš Dostal back in, disappointing because it's fan appreciation night, but you tip your cap to the Colorado Avalanche for the comeback.
And this was a game in which head coach Greg Cronin, he wanted, right, to just during his time there with the Northern Colorado Eagles, right? It really hits close to home, this game for him, and you just hope for a better outcome.
Yep. Pile up in front of the net. A shot deflects behind the net. Ahmad is there, and this game is history. Final shots, 24-20 Colorado. Final score, 4-2 for them.
Well, sure, a lot of folks that are now making their way for the exits here at Honda Center. A lot like myself, a lot like you, Steve. What could have been, but how did we get to this point? Once again, tip your caps, as you just mentioned, to the visiting Colorado Avalanche, but the Anaheim Ducks, what went wrong? I mean, in sole control of the game, up by two, took their foot off the pedal a little bit to maybe just allowed for this hungry Avalanche team who, depleted by the lack of superstar talent, still managed to get the dub for them. Just such a tough break for the good guys.
Yeah, it is. Crowd was brilliant here, very loud, noisy, and we look forward to having all of them, most of them, back next year as a season ticket holder too.
And that fourth goal, empty net goal, scored by Eric Johnson, longtime National Hockey Leaguer, and just a lone assist goes to Charlie Coyle.
And you know what? The Ducks can make some amends on this upcoming road trip with getting points against Minnesota, Winnipeg, or both. And that's what's left in the regular season. And Emerson Edom will be talking along with Alexis Downey about those future games this week. You'll hear them all on the Duck stream, so we appreciate all of that. Emerson will be heading over with Alexis, and stay tuned for that post-game show. Want to thank Ben and also Vic for their support, and Jay at Skyview in the state of Arizona. Thanks for listening. Just a quick reminder, tonight's broadcast been property of the Anaheim Ducks Hockey Club. Any rebroadcast of tonight's game, either whole or in part, without the express written consent of the Anaheim Ducks and the NHL, is strictly prohibited. Again, the final score, come from behind effort by Colorado. They defeat the Anaheim Ducks 4-2 in the homestand finale. So, Emerson Edom up next with Alexis Downey. We'll take a timeout, come back with all of our post-game wrap-up. You're listening to DuckStream, powered by TuneIn.
The best new cars, Honda, make the best pre-owned cars, Honda certified pre-owned vehicles. Get 0.99% APR on 2025 certified pre-owned Honda Civics, CRVs, HRVs, and Passports at your helpful Honda dealers. Plus a 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty. And every Honda goes through a 182-point inspection. For 0.99% APR on certified pre-owned Hondas, search your local Honda dealer today. See dealer for financing details. Financing on credit approval. Offer ends 4/30/25.
From the electricity out on the ice to the roar of the crowd in the stands, there's nothing quite like Anaheim Ducks hockey.
Terry backhand scores! Troy Terry!
And this season, you can be there live to cheer them on. As the official ticketing partner of the Anaheim Ducks and the NHL, Ticketmaster has you covered with the largest selection of seats at a wide variety of price points. So get off the couch and get into the stands. Grab great seats to see the Anaheim Ducks today at Ticketmaster.com/Ducks.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com and score big. Orange County's premier injury firm and official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks. At Easton & Easton, our family of litigators has more than 100 years combined experience fighting the insurance companies in all types of injury accidents. With our family, every case is personal and handled by an actual attorney. Call to speak with an attorney today at 1-833-EASTONS. That's 1-833-EASTONS. Let our family help yours at EastonLawFirm.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com. To score big, official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks.
This spring, the world's best figure skaters rock the ice. Rock Stars on Ice 2025 Tour with world champions Ilya Malinin, Madison Chalk and Evan Bates, Amber Glenn, Isabeau Lovito, Jason Brouse, the legendary Elvis Stoico, and more Rock Stars on Ice, directed by Kurt Browning. Coming to Honda Center May 17th. Get tickets at starsonice.com.
Your next favorite thing about the Disneyland Resort is waiting to be discovered. Sure, you might have been on It's a Small World. Who doesn't love that? But have you found your inner hero at Avengers Campus? Avengers Assemble! Or have you dropped on in to check out Tiana's Bayou Adventure? Discover your next favorite thing about the Disneyland Resort. Park tickets and reservations required. Visit Disneyland.com for details.
Products that keep your business performing at the highest level. Solutions designed to streamline your team's playbook. And the expertise to help your business score big. Pacific Premier Bank, part of your team and the official business bank of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Visit BPBI.com. Member FDIC. It doesn't get much better than this.
Anaheim Ducks Hockey is brought to you by UCI Health. At UCI Health, we stop at nothing to prevent, treat, and cure cancer. Visit ucihealth.org/stopatnothing. Stay tuned for Anaheim Ducks postgame show up next on DuckStream. You're listening to the Anaheim Ducks postgame show. Exclusively on DuckStream, the official 24/7 audio network of Ducks Hockey.
For one final time here at Honda Center this season, the Anaheim Ducks took the ice tonight in front of Orange Country and unfortunately fell to the Colorado Avalanche by a final score of 4-2. It was a rallied comeback from Colorado late in the game. That's how this one ended. Welcome into our post-game show. I'm Alexis Downey alongside Emerson Needham, and we're just sitting here, honestly, just in disbelief at what we saw to end this game, Emmer. I mean, the Ducks had all the momentum. You get into that third period, 4 goals from Colorado.
Yeah, and that's just what veteran coaching can set out for their team, and that's Jared Bednar. I mean, he is such a high-end coach. I said it live during the broadcast that, look, he's won at every level. He's won at the East Coast League level. He's won at the American Hockey League level. And not too long ago, of course, taking home a cup. But just roster to roster. Look, for the most part, Anaheim, fully healthy. And same could have been said for the Colorado Avalanche. But, you know, probably most of the decision-making due to who was out was for their upcoming playoffs. But still, this is just on paper, roster to roster, a game in which the Ducks, they showed that they were the better team circumstantially and got up 2-0 late. The team that wanted them more from just a certain time frame in that third period on, it was the Avalanche. And it's just, it's unfortunate, right? Fan appreciation night, cars being given away. You wanted the good guys to come out with a dub.
It feels like one of those games that there's just not an excuse for why this team lost this game. I mean, yes, like you're saying, roster to roster, but you know they were out shooting Colorado. They were doing everything better than Colorado for the majority of this game until that final period. And we're going to get into how this one shook out. So starting in that first period, it was Mason McTavish who got the scoring going late in that first period, 18:52.
Puck cleared out center ice here in a scoreless first period. 1:12 to go in it. Ducks shoot it. Score! Anaheim will get the first score of the hockey game. Nice work there by everyone out the ice, getting the puck down in the Colorado D zone. And then Mason McTavish fired it by Scott Wedgwood to give the Ducks a 1-0 advantage.
Huge goal early in this game for Mason McTavish. You could just see it. I mean, perfectly placed shot there. And the Ducks were feeling it early.
I mean, how about the stat line for MacT? 18:45 of total on ice. So that's a big time number. three shots on goal, including that goal that we just heard. One takeaway, one block shot, 10-5 in the faceoff circle. Good for a 60% win percentage. This guy's been a man on a mission for some time. And I said it right after he scored. I'll say it again. His shot has improved. It was already good. It's gotten even better. And it seems like he's comfortable just snapping that thing from any area as he did. That was a long bomb. Quick snapper, long bomb. He goes far side from his vantage point, and that was near side for us calling the game. He curls around, snapped it, and Wedgwood didn't say much of it.
Ducks up 1-0 after the first period. And by the way, all the noise in the background that you're hearing right now, it's jersey off the players' back to fans. There's a lot of people out on the ice right now receiving jerseys from each of the Anaheim Ducks players, so you're going to be hearing DJ JoJo and Allie K in the background as we continue this post-game show. So 1-0, as I mentioned, after the first period. Sam Colangelo, Golangelo, the next goal scorer to give the Ducks their 2-0 lead.
20 seconds left in the power play. Strome shot blocked. A drive by Lacombe, and that hit a body in front. 12 seconds to go. All kind of pressure here, but no scoring yet. 12:32 left in the period. Power play will end in 4 seconds. Vetrano with it. Front of the net, a shot, they score! As time just ran out. After Colangelo let a booming slap shot go, the Ducks add to their lead here in the second period. It's 2-0.
Huge goal right after the power play for the Ducks, and a nice passing there. Colangelo just in the right spot.
Yeah, Frank Vetrano just simmering things down there on the far side flank. He gives it down to Killer. There's a few exchanges there, and you know for that pretty much that full unit's opportunity, they had one guy to give it to, and that was Sam Colangelo. They kept looking for him. He kept trying to pop out, but the Avs doing a good job initially closing him out, but it just one last pop out. Great look by Killer there as obviously that penalty kill expired for the Colorado Avalanche, and just right place, right time. Great pop out, great shot along the ice, 5-hole. That was a beauty.
Colangelo led the team tonight in shots on goal. He had 4, so fitting that he was able to get a goal on that. 2-0 at that point in the second period. Lukáš Dostál, big in the net, under 6 minutes left in the period, and he had a point-blank save.
Avs go after the puck. Chris Wagner, the former Duck, out there trying to cause some damage to his former team. Oh, Dostal just stopped Keaton Middleton point blank.
And TJ Tynan, he had a between-the-leg pass to a slot area. His shot, what a save by Lukáš Dostal with the right pad. My, oh, my.
And it was unfortunate because the Ducks were up 2-0 after two periods of play. Emmer, like you mentioned, I mean, Dostal was really good in the net. And then third period comes along, gives up 3. Then the fourth goal by Colorado was an empty netter. But, I mean, that save was huge in the second period.
Yeah, the Ducks, victims of maybe playing not to lose, kind of, right? It was a situation where there was, it hit a certain point of the game where just wasn't as efficient, wasn't as hungry, wasn't as relentless as we saw in the first half. And then it slowly started to pick up for the Avs. They kept on pressuring, great forechecks. And, yeah, Steve mentioned early in the game, not a whole lot from Logan O'Connor, but, boy, was he special there that last stretch. And, yeah, they just got better and better, shift in and shift out. And that's that leadership mentality from their coaching staff on down.
Well, let's hear how they were able to get that scoring going. That first goal from the Avs in the third period, just 10 minutes and 5 seconds into that third period.
Coming in across the line for Drury. Off to the side of the net. Natchez, they center it and they score. And Colorado's on the board at 10:05 of the third period. Their first goal of the hockey game. And the Colorado Avalanche get the goal from the guy we just talked about, Wyatt Amott. And it's a brand new game.
And how about that? It was Wyatt Amott's first NHL goal.
It was a greasy one.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But look, he's not going to give that one back. That's for sure. He's going to take it and run with it. And boy, did that really just it continued on the momentum for the visitors.
And I can't say that I realized until just this moment that all four of their goals came in the second half of the third period. Under 10 minutes.
Unacceptable.
Exactly, exactly. Well, that's just sometimes how it goes. Not the storybook ending we were hoping for here at Honda Center tonight on Fan Appreciation Night, but we're going to keep talking about this game, and we're going to talk about Ian Moore's debut tonight as well as what this playoff picture is shaping out to be. So don't go too far after this commercial break.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT.
Products that keep your business performing at the highest level. Solutions designed to streamline your team's playbook. And the expertise to help your business score big. Pacific Premier Bank, part of your team and the official business bank of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Visit bpbi.com. Member FDIC. It doesn't get much better than this.
The Stanley Cup Playoffs Bracket Challenge is back. And now it's time to take your shot. Face off against family and friends and see if you can predict this year's playoffs. Can you pick the perfect bracket and claim the ultimate prize? A trip to a 2025-26 NHL event. Sign up today for a chance to win exclusive prizes at nhl.com/bracket.
The Anaheim Ducks are back on the ice, and this season you can be in the stands to experience it all live.
Terry backhand scores! Troy Terry!
Shop a wide variety of seats for every match from Ticketmaster, the official ticketing partner of the Anaheim Ducks in the NHL, and make sure you don't miss a single moment. And rest assured, if your plans change, Ticketmaster has you covered. You can securely sell your seats to other fans with just a few taps. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com/Ducks.
Your next favorite thing about the Disneyland Resort is waiting to be discovered. Sure, you might have been on It's a Small World. Who doesn't love that? But have you found your inner hero at Avengers Campus? Avengers Assemble! Or have you dropped on in to check out Tiana's Bayou Adventure? Discover your next favorite thing about the Disneyland Resort. Park tickets and reservations required. Visit Disneyland.com for details.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com and score big. Orange County's premier injury firm and official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks. At Easton & Easton, our family of litigators has more than 100 years combined experience fighting the insurance companies in all types of injury accidents. With our family, every case is personal and handled by an actual attorney. Call to speak with an attorney today at 1-833-EASTONS. That's 1-833-EASTONS. Let our family help yours at EastonLawFirm.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com. To score big. Official personal injury attorneys on the Anaheim Ducks.
Avoid the penalty box. Parking at Honda Center will look a little different this season. So know before you go and be sure to review all updates, maps, and more at HondaCenter.com/parking to reserve your spot for the game.
Welcome back to the post-game show. The Ducks falling in Fan Appreciation Night 4-2 to the Colorado Avalanche. That brings their record on the season to 35-37-8. A home record of 21-18-2, though, so a winning record here in this building. Orange Country always bringing the noise, the energy, and the Ducks didn't necessarily do their part here tonight. But, Emerson, I mean, one thing that was a big part of this game was Ian Moore making his NHL debut. Let's talk about him. What did you see out of him?
Yeah, 18 total shifts, 15-31 of total on ice. So not too high for in consideration that he's a D, but also not too low. It's not like he's hovering around 12, 13 minutes. So decent amount of ice time for his first outing. I thought he was great. I thought he wanted the puck. He wanted to be a difference maker. He was up in the play, and his gap was great. So there was just a lot of things as far as his jump, his preparation, him being on his toes. He was grabbing that puck and getting up in the play. He had one there on the far side early on, and then on the near side, he got a quality shot through for a nice tip. Three total shots on goal. I just thought he was using his speed to his best benefit. And, yeah, he was just – there wasn't a whole lot of sitting around for him. Mm-hmm. I just thought he was waiting to really get that puck and go with it. So it's it was a great first outing. If that's, you know, I guess you could say his worst hockey, his first game, there's a lot to be looking forward to with Ian Moore because – I don't know. That I'm going to be straight up. A lot more impactful than what I remember from my first start. And, of course, I'm a forward. He's a D. But still, it's not it's not easy to come in and translate, right, from college to a great showing there in San Diego. Then he translates from college to American to the American League to the National Hockey League. It just seems like that just means that he's a true pro. He's always ready for the opportunity, and I thought he was great.
And he was a captain at Harvard for his last two seasons, so I feel like that always says something about a player if they take on a leadership role, especially at the college level. I mean, you have classes, you have life, you have hockey. It's a lot of things to manage at once. It just says a lot about him as a person and hopefully, you know, about his college game, well, his hockey game as well.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot to look forward to. A lot of the San Diego Goals brass had a lot of good things to say about his passing ability, quick passing, quick puck movement up the ice, and he certainly shored that puck going north. Him going north, the puck going north, not a whole lot of cutbacks and play that, you know, really negatively impacted the game. I thought he was great.
Well, this night is all about the fans, so let's get over to our text line now because we have a lot of messages rolling in after this game. First message here. Hello, my name is Hunter, and I just want to say that Anaheim has a young group of guys who just needs to develop and practice more, but overall, the Ducks were great this season. When next season starts, Cronin just needs to find the right lines to put on the ice and see who can be in the lineup together. Let's go, Ducks.
Well, isn't that positive? I love that. I needed that message to
thank you, Hunter.
Uplift my spirits. So, as AD just said, thanks, Hunter, and please message us again and again next season. We look forward to that. And, yeah, it's one more season under head coach Greg Cronin's belt. Look, much better this season than last. And I want everyone to go search Jared Bednar's career trajectory because a lot of similarities between head coach Greg Cronin and Jared Bednar. So just do a little Hockey DB and see their records because it wasn't a pretty start for Bednar in Colorado. Quickly turned things around. Similar in ways, not so similar in other ways, but look, he had a young group. They had to develop. And so, yeah, when it comes to developing these young guys, I think even head coach Greg Cronin has a little bit more difficult task as these guys were even younger than what Bednar had to go with, of course, Landeskog and McKinnon and Rantanen at the time being extremely young. But, look, these guys, they get better and better. Big steps for a lot of these Ducks skaters. So I look forward to the next even bigger step for a lot of these guys next season.
Well said. And sometimes it does take time to develop a core, to develop as a coach as well. And I'm glad that you brought up coaching because we do have a number of messages here very frustrated with the coaching staff, in particular head coach Greg Cronin, the job that they did this season. And we should for sure talk about this too, because this was Cronin's second year, new member on the staff, couple new members on the staff this year, Emerson. But overall, you know, what do you think about the way the team, I guess, has been handled this year?
Well, look, it's a team that has, they're much more competitive, right? In a lot of these games, it's not like a lot of one-goal losses. A lot of the stuff you experienced and we as fans or us, AD and I, Steve, we watched, a lot came around as far as mistakes happening. Look, I just think on paper the team was better. They brought in Dumoulin, right? Mm-hmm. So they bought in a guy like Robbie Fabry who looked good and was helping this team win games early on. Like, he provided a great third-line role early on in the year. It is unfortunate that he went down to injury. It was unfortunate a guy like McGinn goes down to injury, right? I mean, those are two crucial guys that go down. It doesn't help down the stretch, especially these games where late in the season, teams that you're facing that aren't making the playoffs, they're playing that hard-nosed physical game, and not having two guys in your lineup that play that physical way, it it definitely hurts. So all I can say is much better than last season, mm-hmm. and that's all I'm going by. It's just, hey, did this team make a big step? Yeah, I think you can classify that as a big step. I mean, just over 20 wins last season. It was, look, this team, a giant step was taken, and I think maybe you can make the argument that, hey, it could have been a playoff team. I think a lot goes into that, right?
Yeah.
Gibby needs to be healthy the full time for that to happen. And there's just been a lot of things that point towards narrowly missing a wild card berth, and that's mm-hmm. what happened, right?
There is a lot of layers to this, and, you know, things that we see from the day to day and things that we don't see from the day to day. One of the things I feel like that stands out from all of our conversations with Cronin this season is he did reevaluate himself after year one, came into this year with a different mindset, and has let the players in the locker room take over in a lot of situations. He's allowed the leadership just to be in the locker room, and that's maybe something that we didn't see as much last year. Not a captain. This is our first year with Radko Gudas as the captain, but he always talked about how it's not just Gudas, it's all the veteran guys. It's some of the younger guys even speaking up at times. So in terms of the way the locker room is right now, I think that's also a positive for this future is, you know, if the guys are gelling, that's only going to help them as we go into the future.
Yeah, and a guy like Rich Klune, I think he came in and he helped bridge the gap between, you know, some of the guys on the team and head coach Greg Cronin, and just got a younger voice in there that really it allowed for good cohesiveness and a better streamline of communication. Now, on the other hand, look, you look at that power play, and it's been a struggle all season long. Not that it was great last year. You move on from Newell Brown, you bring in a new young voice. Look, on paper, what we saw during the course of the year in the power play, better times are ahead for that power play. So, look, there's areas of struggle. There is many areas of improvement.
Yes.
I think all you can point to is the start of next season. Out of the gate, first 10 games, how are we going? And go from there.
And also, we'll see what happens this offseason. GM Pat Verbeek has, you know, shared what he hopes to see, and hopefully we'll hear from him soon as well with this season ending to get a maybe better idea what the Ducks are looking to do more in the offseason. But a couple more messages here before we send it to break and come back with our final segment. Daniel from Corona. One final time from Honda Center. Thank you, Alexis and Emmer, for everything this season. Truly enjoyed texting into the postgame show, and it truly felt like I was texting a good friend after each game. See you next season at the pond. Fly together.
Well, Daniel from Corona, we enjoy our friendship. We got some great chemistry out there from you, and it feels good. Good vibes all around, so please continue to message us. We enjoy every message you send.
Here's another one. My name is Ben. I have been a Ducks fan since 1993 and am proud of my team. All this positivity. I like it.
Yes. And for those of you that are tuning in that do not know what I'm wearing right now, I'm wearing a nice little
teal. They can't see you.
Yeah, a nice little teal jacket here tonight. And it's a great mesh because, AD, you got a nice orange ensemble going on. So a nice mixture of past and present, and I think that's just a motto of what we've been through the last 2 years. 30th anniversary season last season, we just mentioned the 93 there, and then this season, just a whole rebrand. Just the whole energy, it got a little meaner, punk rockish, everything you can envision. Southern California, Vans, skater, everything's coming together here at Orange Country.
Orange Country. It's been the first season of it, and I feel like the team has embodied it well. The new uniforms this year, the new logo, everything has really changed when you look back at the past year. But overall, trending in the right direction. Let's get one more text in before we send it to break. Hey, guys. Haven't checked in a while, but I'm still glued to the stream. Number one, I don't get to many games, but fan appreciation night is always a blast. Great energy in the building. Number two, no Makar, McKinnon, or Landeskog yet. Avs pull it out. The Coyle goal was a giveaway. Totally disorganized on the back end, and honestly, Dostal should have stopped it. We have to win games like these when the guys are shorthanded. And the final part here, Vetrano and Zegras still MIA, but Terry is doing great work out there. By the way, Ian Moore can flat out fly. I hope he finds a place somewhere in this league. Talk to you next game. I love this franchise from Tony.
Yeah, good problems to have. And when I mean that, it's just as far. Yeah, nice picture there, Tony. Great stuff. And what is that? The lower bowl, top of the lower bowl there. That looks great there.
Great seats.
Yeah, great message too as well. Yeah, look, little breakdown there. We're still scratching our head. You know what? How did this game end up? How it finished? And
yep,
just still scratching my head. But at the same time, yeah, a little breakdown. Just it was a great play, and I think the Ducks need to take notes when it comes to, you know, how do we generate more offense? Leo Carlson always does it. Look, you got a delay. And Logan O'Connor there on the near side on the entry, he pulls up, he delays, and of course he a little drop pass to Jimmy Vesey. Great, just a veteran pass from Vesey right on the twig of Charlie Coyle, and he makes no mistake. Yeah, maybe a toss up whether or not he should have got across for that, but like that was just a tic tac toe play and a beauty.
All right, Emmer, well, we're going to take a break now, but before we do, Jack Daniels, the only good thing that comes from waiting is whiskey. Make it count.
TuneIn's Coffeehouse Station is open for business. So pull up a cozy chair and start soundtracking your day with light acoustic classics from today's most soothing songwriters, like indie geniuses Bon Iver, soft rock newcomer Phoebe Bridgers, and acoustic legend Jack Johnson. All in a soul-warming rotation on TuneIn's exclusive Coffeehouse Station. Just search Coffeehouse on TuneIn to listen.
Looking for an app to hear all your favorite music, news, sports, and more?
Season president before I know exactly
what
he
all of your audio all in one place, right here on TuneIn. Play your favorite stations, like Que Buena.
Corazón, muchas gracias por estar en sintonía, por comunicarse con
ESPN Radio.
The ball out here, but the one thing DeMarcus does very well is he's a
The Daily.
Paul, we have spent a lot of time over the past year talking about higher education.
And so much more. Whatever you love listening to, you can hear it all on TuneIn.
There's just something about classic soul music that gets you moving. And TuneIn's exclusive Soul Groove station has all the right moves. Hit play on the grooviest 70s selection. Get your masters in melody with Motown Classics. Or set just the right tone with smooth, soulful vibes from Marvin Gaye and more. It's all right here on TuneIn, ready to set the perfect 70s tone. Search Soul Groove or tell your device to play Soul Groove on TuneIn now to listen.
Hey there, it's your friend Stormy Warren. Buckle up and join me every single weekday from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central right here exclusively on TuneIn. What can you expect from my show? Well, we're talking about and playing the hottest, freshest, and newest country music around, not to mention plenty of the biggest hits you already know and love. Just search the Big 615 or ask your device to play the Big 615 on TuneIn.
iHeartRadio is streaming on TuneIn. From top music hits, breaking news, and sports talk, it's all here on TuneIn. You can hear Ryan Seacrest on 102.7 Kiss FM.
How much do we love this job?
The Breakfast Club on Power 105.1.
We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building. Snoop Dogg!
Or 98.1 The Breeze. And every other iHeartRadio station. Just search iHeartRadio to find all your favorite radio stations and start listening today.
Hey, Debbie, we got so much classic country music on our record shelves.
I'm listening.
What do you say we make another radio station? We'll celebrate guys like Stoney Edwards and O.C. Smith, you know, guys who didn't get a lot of radio play back in the day.
And how about fearless gals like Tammy, Loretta, and Dolly, who paved the way for the female country singers of today?
Well, let's call it Country a Go Go.
Yes. You keep saying you
got something for me. Search Country a Go Go or ask your device to play Country a Go Go on TuneIn.
Welcome back to our post-game show. We're going to head down to the locker room now because Ian Moore made his NHL debut tonight, and all of his friends and family are currently in the stands here at Honda Center waiting to meet their superstar, but he already spoke with the media, so let's hear what he has to say.
First game, but being able to step out there and play in the NHL, what was that like tonight?
Yeah, it was, can't really put it into words this quick. Hasn't sunk in, you know. I was just trying to play simple out there and just trying to stick to the basics and during the game. But yeah, it hasn't sunk in. Probably won't for a little while. Obviously, it would have been nice to get the win, but still a dream come true for me to play tonight.
What is the feeling like when you step out on the ice for the first time? Is it overwhelming, or is it?
Yeah, it's for warm-ups. It's like you forget how to skate a little bit. You know, it was dark out there, and I just didn't want to trip. But yeah, I mean, it was. I really can't put it into words. I don't know. It was just trying to stay on my feet in warm-ups.
Was there a point in the game, you know, the nerves take over? Was there a point in the game where you kind of felt like, okay, this is just hockey again. I can just play my game, and it's all the same.
Yeah, I think after the first shift, I settled in a little bit. Tried to take a quick one early, and just get out there. And these guys were super helpful on the bench and on the ice as well, talking to me and supporting me and telling me, you know, what to do, where to go if I'm not in the right spot. So it was just awesome playing with them. And yeah, I think after the first shift, I settled down a little bit, but still was, you know, nervous, excited the whole game.
I didn't look at the final, but I saw you had three shots, just like McTavish did. And I'm wondering if, you know, you put a lot of shots on net. Is that something you're looking
for? Yeah, I mean, just trying to keep it simple, especially, you know, early in the first one. So if I had a chance to get to the net with the guys there, I was just trying to you know, throw it down there and give them something to work with if I could.
Can you give us a little insight into your last couple of weeks here? Obviously, wrap up the season at Harvard, come to San Diego. Just, you know, what's the experience been like for you? Did you know anybody here in the organization beforehand? Or?
Yeah, I knew a couple guys in San Diego, and also Sammy Colangelo. Pretty good buddies with him back home. We skate together in the summer. Yeah, wrapped up at school. Quickly headed out to San Diego. Was able to play some games with them, which was awesome. And then, yeah, the other night, just got word that I'd be getting called up, which was awesome. And played with San Diego Friday, and then practiced here, yesterday, and then first game tonight. So it's been a whirlwind. It's been a lot, but it's been a ton of fun, and I'm really grateful for it.
Talk about the difference between defending at the college AHL level and now in the NHL against the size and speed of these guys.
Yeah, guys are just keep getting better and better. Like you mentioned it, the size, the speed, the skill, the ability to make plays, just in such a tight window. I really saw that in practice yesterday when these guys were doing 3-on-2s, and I didn't stop really too many yesterday. So you just got to always be aware. Got to have a great stick. You know, all the details that you have, you know, growing up, you really got to stick to those, and you got to be excellent with those because these guys can make plays inside a phone booth.
Ian Moore just keeping it simple tonight and at a loss for words with what this evening means to him. You like to hear that kind of emotion. I mean, he truly was trying to take it in. I'm sure he's going to be trying to take it in for the next week, month, whatever it is.
Yeah, and he was very he highlighted just the fact that his teammates, guys on the bench, were making it really easy on him there, communicating to him, just spoke on his three shots on goal total. And he had a lot of people to thank there. And as we are, of course, wrapping up this post-game show, we're looking out into the Honda Center stands there. And AD, you might have noted that or his former teammates there at Harvard joining him, maybe took the trip out from the East Coast to catch his first National Hockey League game.
Yeah, they look really excited to be here in all their Harvard jerseys, but they covered them, and it says more on them as well. So what a special evening for his family. And despite the outcome, you have to be, you know, happy for him to enjoy this evening. Would have enjoyed it more with the Ducks win, but, you know, it's just the way it goes sometimes.
I'm just still so impressed with how he played. You saw that size to him, and yet another just quality-sized defenseman that knows how to skate. Jackson Lacombe, mm-hmm. he's got some decent size to him, and he's an efficient skater. Of course, Tristan Luneau, he's got a decent size to him as well. He's been dominating the American Hockey League all season long down there in San Diego. So looking forward to him getting back into action here at this game's highest level here in the National Hockey League. So a lot of competition on that back end come next season.
I wouldn't want to be the one making all those decisions, because there are quite a few defensemen that have bright futures in this Ducks organization. We are stockpiled on that end. But we have a couple more messages to get to before we wrap up this postgame show. Fizz said, love to see you and Edom sitting next to each other to commiserate over the last home game. Hey, I've tried the mac and cheese in Sriracha. It's amazing. Edom, better try it.
Hey, you know what? I've tried it. I've tried
you
it.
You have.
And you know what? I'm a fan.
Okay.
And what I'm going to do next now, I'm going to do ketchup and sriracha.
Oh,
how about
whoa.
That? A little spicy take
saucy.
To it while keeping it sweet. So I look forward to that.
Well, I'm sure our listeners will be thrilled about that you finally had the mac and cheese sriracha by the end of this season.
All right, so. Lay off now. I've done it. We're
all right,
good.
All right. Another message here. Here's a long one. Okay, let's dive into this. After this final home game, there's a lot of positives to look back on. Olin Zellweger is an offensive dynamite with incredible ability to recover from his mistakes or the mistakes of his line mates in the defensive zone. Cutter played incredibly for parts of the season, and he's only going to get better next season. McTavish had a strong season and led the team in goals as the quote-unquote third liner. Yeah, we don't forget that. Carlson made the Four Nations and had some remarkable plays this year. Zegras will never miss a shootout shot again. Lacombe showed the world he can be an elite defenseman. Lukasz Dostal isn't a no-name goalie anymore, playing as one of the best goalies in the entire league this season. Changes are coming this summer, and I'm ready for a fun 25-26 season. On a side note, thank you so much, Alexis and Emmer, for reading all my texts from home games this season. Thank you so much for hosting this great postgame show. I'll see you on the orange carpet in a few months.
Look forward to that. What a positive. So we started this these messages off with a positive one.
Yep.
And look, it
I love
just,
the breakdown here.
Yeah, we're ending on a positive note as well. And yeah, I just like you mentioned, great breakdown. Olin Zellweger not in the lineup here tonight. You and I talked about a tough break, allowing Ian Moore just obviously that opportunity. That makes sense, but to take a guy out that my mind's been playing so solid as Olin Zellweger has, that was tough, right?
Yeah.
He's been skating well. It seemed as if sitting there a short time ago, he was just getting into it after, you know, solid performance hopping back in there, but he was just getting going.
Yeah.
And so we'll see how that's managed there the rest of the way.
I like the message part of saying that he recovers from his mistakes and makes up for them, because that's something that I believe we've talked about, and just the way he's able to make up for things, and for his size too. You know, he makes up for it with different parts of his game.
Yeah, he's aggressive. He's feisty. He knows he has to be with that size, but yeah, he can wheel and deal out there. And yeah, maybe that was the missing piece of the Anaheim Ducks not being able to get that third, fourth goal, right? A little bit more speed, a little bit more oomph from the back end.
Curious to see what the decisions are in the next two games, the final road games of this season. But before we get to that, we have one more text here. A lot of the improvement this year came from high-end goaltending. We got the first half of the season. We're lucky to have Dostal, but I don't feel this style of hockey Cronin wants to play fits this roster. If this continues and we don't have high-end goaltending next year, we could see a setback in the progress. I don't think Cronin is the answer, but Gudas has been bad and needs to be traded. So one more part to this message. If we got average goaltending, this team would have finished pretty close to last year's team. Advanced metrics say that. Well, it's a very thought-out message, and to the point of the style of play that Cronin wants to play or to have this roster play. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I just like to see a little bit more offensively. You see other teams throw high rolls, high switches, just some kind of consistent style that, you know, when you think of the good guys, oh, it goes to that point or that point, right?
Yeah.
I'd like to get a set definition, and so does this message.
Yeah.
I think it alludes to that, right? We want to see just more consistency, whatever that is, whether that's an offensive system that is straight low to high passes, get shots through, bodies at the net, tip play, that sort of game, or maybe a team like Ottawa where a lot of cycle plays, a lot of beneath the goal line pop out shots from the slot area, or, you know, a Utah or a team with a lot of high rolls, a Vancouver Canucks, another team that just does those high rolls, high drop passes, and really gets the opposition moving around and makes it extremely difficult defensively. That's the one thing moving forward. I'd like to see a little bit more defined offensive structure in order for all of us to see or what to expect here game in and game out.
And you wonder if maybe that's where an ad this summer could help the Ducks offensively, if they're able to get one of those elite forwards.
And who knows? Look, I don't think anyone anticipated a team like Nashville to be third, third to last in the league, right? So, look, maybe it's a blockbuster. Maybe it's a couple teams that, you know, feel that they're in a tough spot or going to make something happen. So it's going to be very interesting. Mm-hmm. I feel like more teams missed the mark on what their expectations were heading into the season. Now, look, I think it's a big plus, the fact that this Ducks team, yeah, they might have struck out or not gotten just a perennial all-star in free agency, but look, maybe that was a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
You know, this summer rolls around, could be a different story, right? So, look, grass ain't always greener,
yeah,
right? It's always not. So, look, a lot of improvements this year, a lot to improve on still, but overall, I think it was a step in the right direction.
All right, Emmer. Well, let's wrap this post-game show up with your final quack.
Look, this is going to be a very hungry Minnesota Wild team, right?
Mm.
And
they got to win.
Yeah. They're going to be coming out firing. They got to dictate the pace of play. So my final quack is the good guys, first game of this back-to-back two-game road trip to finish off the season, they have to dictate the play. If they don't, Minnesota Wild will.
I like that. And especially in Minnesota, it's their final game of the season. They have a lot on the line. So I like that too, Emmer. Well, since this is my last post-game show with you this season, I'm going to go through for my final quack just a couple thank yous. And I made sure to write everyone down so I didn't lose track of anyone. But I just want to give some thank yous to Jay Neal and Cash Hibbler at Skyview, Ruth and Augustine at Shout, Joey, Stefan, Aaron, and Dan, my team at Duckstream, Emerson, yourself, and Steve. It's been so wonderful this season. And, of course, all of the fans that listen to the pre-post game, the game, everything on Duckstream. I mean, we appreciate you so much, and it's just been a blast this season.
Thanks, AD. No, that's you're going to be all emotional here. Thank you. I mean, it's always a blast here on this post-game show. And go Ducks. Thank you to Orange Country. This year, look, so many gains, and just including the all-out vibes. So let's keep the vibes rolling here these last two games of the season.
Yeah, and you can next listen to Duckstream on Tuesday. It's a 5 o'clock Pacific time start, so tune in for the pregame coverage at 4:30. But the final score here tonight at Honda Center on Fan Appreciation Night, 4 for the Colorado Avalanche, 2 for the Anaheim Ducks. And for Emerson Needham, I'm Alexis Downey. Thank you for joining us tonight and all season long. It's been so fun to bring you this new Ducks team this season and Orange Country and everything that's been involved. And we appreciate you, as always, tuning in for the post-game show on Duckstream, powered by TuneIn.